Welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Vroman. It's so good to be with you on this wonderful Sunday. Hey, did you have a good Easter? I sure had a good Easter. I'm recording this actually for Easter, to be honest. But I hope you're doing well. This is the program that's on this radio station and out of Sandpoint. And I want you to check it out, apradio.org. Give Virgil a shout out over there. Austin, they are wonderful, and they need to know that you're listening. If you have a friend in the community that you're out walking, say, hey, have you heard our radio station? And they'd say, I didn't know there's a radio station. Well, you need to make sure they know there's a radio station. You know how much you're blessed for it. I hope Ray's doing well out there. He's one of the big fans of the radio station. Shout out to Ray. Shout out to Vera. Shout out to Lydia. I'm giving a shout out to where the church is at in Safe Harbor Church in Accutane, Alaska. I am Pastor Matthew, your voice on the radio for all things with Safe Harbor Church. So this is Hour of Hope. I hope that you have a great hour as we're meditating on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. And then I want to introduce our very special guest after we get to hear a great hymn. Oh my word. We're going to play one of the greatest hymns of all time. I know you'll love this hymn, but let me pray. Lord, thank you for this time. I pray you would bless this radio station, this radio program, and it would encourage everybody out there. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to listen to a hymn, very old hymn, very translated hymn into a lot of different languages, Amazing Grace. This is one of the, you know how you have different artists that will record hymns, and some of them are iconic recordings. Well, Alan Jackson's Amazing Grace, I will argue, has become an iconic. People really associate that voice with that hymn now. And in fact, a lot of the funerals I've done, they want the Alan Jackson version of Amazing Grace. With that being said, why don't we listen to Alan Jackson, Amazing Grace, right now.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Like me. was blind, but now I see.
Hello and welcome back to Hour of Hope. That's right, I'm Pastor Matthew. Are you ready for something exciting? Are you, you know, hey, I'm going to set up like a joke. Did you hear about the Texan who moved to Alaska? You didn't? Well, you're going to meet him today. We have a very special guest. We have Shelby Smith, and he has a joy for God because that's what it's about. It's not about the degrees. It's not about the high talk. It's not about anything other than relationship and joy with Jesus Christ. How are you? By the way, how are you doing out there, Ray? I want to give you another shout out. I love that guy. He's just so cool. He's an academic. Just love me. I'd love to hear from any of you. Maybe you're on another island. You're like, I'm so sick and tired of you just calling out Accutan. Well, give me you. I'll call you out. Give me your name. Hey, my email is MATHEWV as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N at gmail.com. I'd just love to hear from you. If you want prayer, you're like, I'd love to have a Bible. I'd love to tell you what you're doing wrong. Yeah, I'll take the criticism. Then I can improve. But if you're going to criticize me, you better say, hey, you need to do this. Especially if you have some good music you'd like me to work in there. I'd love to do that because there's a plethora, a lot of music, Christian music out there. If there's a Bible question you wanted answered, I would be glad to do that too. Just got to email me at MATHEWV as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N at gmail.com. Let me take a plug real quick. I was not asked to do this. This program comes 100% free to you. But you know the challenges public radio has, right? It's not a secret. I mean, there's been cuts, and I'm not talking about is it good or bad. We all have political opinions. I'm just talking about for the community, you like this radio station, right? Well, some of y'all could donate to the radio station because it doesn't come for free. It costs something. So that's not for me. I don't get a cent. But for keeping the radio station going, maybe you would like to contribute a monthly one time. Maybe you would like to do that. Well, why don't you, if you're in Sandpoint, go over to the radio station, learn what they're about, or you go to apradio.org, apradio.org, and make a contribution. So they didn't ask me to do that, but I'm just putting it out there. You're blessed by the radio station, and maybe you should consider becoming a monthly or regular or one-time partner. With that being said, let's get back to the one and the only straight. He moved from Texas a few years ago to Alaska. And I'm going to turn the program over to Shelby Smith. And you are going to be so blessed, not because he's a highly skilled professional, although he is, but because he has a great joy and love for God, and that's really what it's about. So I'm excited for you to be blessed listening to Shelby Smith, and he'll tell you all about him.
Well, here you go. As Matt introduced earlier, my name is Shelby Smith, and my beautiful wife is Debbie, and we're here in Accutan trying to minister and encourage Pastor Matt and his wife Diane as they lead the flock here at Accutan and with Trident. So glad to be here today. I just want to share a little bit with you to answer the riddle that Matt started us with. How did the Texan get to Alaska? Well, back in the late 20-teens, my wife Debbie and I were in Texas. I retired as a federal worker at Fort Hood. I was a Department of Army civilian, and my wife was in public school administration. And as we were coming to that point in our life that a lot of people call retirement, we were looking at it as, God, what do you want us to do next? We had lived in the same area for approximately 20 years, raised our children in the same church at First Baptist Coppers Cove, Texas. We were involved in church mission activities. I was a Sunday school teacher and deacon, and we were comfortable where God had us. We felt like we were blooming where we were planted, and we weren't necessarily looking to leave the area. But as we started considering and praying about what God had next for us in that time of life called retirement, we looked around Texas, and there were opportunities for ministry. Some doors were open, some doors were closed. Even the doors that were open in various opportunities, we just, the more we prayed about it, we just didn't have the peace that that's where God was leading us. And go backwards a few years to 2013. Our home church, our sending church, was very mission active and had started sending a team every summer to do ministry of some type or other in Alaska. In 2013, I went with our team from First Baptist Coppers Cove to Nome and on to Golovin, and we did a little bit of construction work and just visiting in Golovin with the folks in the community there. And I was up there for 2 weeks and enjoyed it, was blessed, came home as always feeling like I had cheated because I had gone with our team to be an encouragement and blessing and to do ministry in Alaska. And yes, I came home feeling like I am the one that got the blessing. That's just how God works. You can never outgive God. So I thought it was a one and done in Alaska and didn't give much thought. And again, going back to the current day of Deb and I getting ready for retirement, as we were seeking God's will, we didn't feel like we were getting a clear answer to where God was calling us, what God wanted us to do in retirement. And for whatever reason, maybe I was led by the Holy Spirit. Hopefully that's what it was. But I did what people today do when they want to find information. We know that whatever you hear on the internet is true, right? Yeah, right. Well, I Googled Christian ministries in Alaska. And as the list came up, I don't know if it was alphabetical order or not, but the first thing that came up on that Google of Christian ministry in Alaska was Arctic Barnabas Ministries. And that struck a chord with me because I had tried to have the relationship with my pastor down there in Central Texas to be his encourager, to the point that he used to call me Barney, nickname for Barnabas, son of encouragement. So when I saw Arctic Barnabas on the list of Christian ministries, that kind of rang a bell, and it kind of tweaked my interest a little bit. So started making some phone calls. I never got an answer. I made some emails, didn't get a reply at the time. And that was like the summer of 2019. I didn't realize what a busy time of ministry is in the summertime in Alaska. And didn't hear back from anyone at Arctic Barnabas for several months, thinking that maybe God was just closing this door too. So fast forward, long story short, we were invited to come up for a vision trip. And with mine and my wife's schedule and Arctic Barnabas' schedule, the best time we could find that was agreeable in all of our schedules was the week of Thanksgiving of 2019. And so we made the trek from Central Texas up to Kenai, Alaska, where the main office of Arctic Barnabas is, the only office of Arctic Barnabas, by the way. And we visited with the executive director and the HR director at the time. And we met a lot of people on the staff, and I think it was our time to see if Alaska and the staff was something that we really wanted to consider. And it was kind of the same thing for the staff at ABM to see if we were the type of folks that they felt God was calling to work with ABM. So one morning, having breakfast with the executive director, I remember a phrase that he mentioned that probably sealed the deal and made it clear that this is where God was calling Deb and I to serve with Arctic Barnabas. He said, "Shelby, you have the potential of making a more of a difference for the kingdom of God in eternity, the last third of your life, than potentially the first two-thirds of your life." And at first I thought, maybe he's saying that we haven't done much the first two-thirds. And the more I got to thinking about it and praying about it, it's like I learned that there's so much in need for ministry and people to honor God and basically follow God, pick up their cross daily and follow Him, and to be fishers of men. And here was someone offering Deb and I an opportunity to go into partnership in ministry and serving God by supporting pastors in remote Alaska, Barnabas Encouragement. So Deb and I prayed about it, and we felt a very clear call and very much a sense of peace that this is where God was calling us. So, here we are. We made the 4,500 mile from Central Texas to the Kenai Peninsula, left life as we knew it, left children, left sisters, family, my mom, left our comfort zone to say yes to follow God. And here's the point out of all of this that I want to make. We're just regular people. We aren't world-renowned evangelists or speakers, just retired folks wanting to continue serving God in however and whatever way that He called them to serve. And if God can use Deb and I, He can use any of you. So, what have I got to share with you? Have I got anything to share with you from God's Word today? I'd just like to share with you that we, when Deb and I came up here to serve with Arctic Barnabas, we came also knowing that we had to find a place to connect and serve a local church. And we have found that in College Heights Baptist Church in Soldotna, Alaska. And in being a member of College Heights, Deb and I lead a married adult Sunday school class. It's a very unique Sunday school class in that I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers. I'm a learner amongst other learners. And for about the past 5 or 6 weeks, God put on my heart to study and look at what the Bible has to say about prayer. So for the past 5 or 6 weeks, we've been just looking at the what different verses in the Bible on prayer. There's a lot of verses in the Bible addressing prayer, how to pray, when to pray, why to pray, the right heart attitude to have, and just on and on and on. But I share that with the class, and we just read and try to take all the verses in context. That's a whole nother message about people taking verses out of context. So we need to look at the verses preceding the verse of interest and what's following it to really understand what God wants to say to us. But in studying all the verses from the Bible on prayer and trying to interpret that with practical application, what does this look like in our life? What are the takeaways? What does this mean to us? How can we be concerned about prayer in our life to where it affects other people? So really, really good study. We're not finished with it yet. One of the things I want to point out with you with prayer is that is one of the two main things I try to start my day with. Prayer time, communication with God, spending time with somebody that's near and dear to me, my Lord and Savior, and what He has to say to us by being led by the Spirit through His Word. So prayer and Bible study. If you're not doing that in your life, hopefully most of you are, but if you're not spending the first part, the most quality part of your day with the Lord in prayer and Bible study, please let me encourage you to do that. Make it a priority before you check the day's advance, your Facebook account, your email, what's going in the world, even checking the weather. Make the first part of your day. Give God your best and give God your first part and spend time with the Lord in prayer and Bible study. So let me just share with you an epic Bible study that happened to me on Akatan this very morning, just hours ago, from the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 13 through 16. Many of us are very, very, very familiar with, I think I said 1 Chronicles. Let me correct that. This 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a very common verse. But let me, as I said earlier, let's take that in context. And let's really just go ahead and start at the very beginning of chapter 7. So 2 Chronicles, if you want to follow me, if you have the Bible app on your phone or if you want to turn in your Bible with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I just want to start at chapter 7 and talk about the dedication of the temple. And this is Solomon building a temple for God. And we'll go on down to verse 11. And this is the Lord appearing to Solomon. And then we'll go back and dissect this and see what it looks like and how we can apply it to our lives. So 2 Chronicles 7, starting at verse 11. Follow with me, please. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord in the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, we usually call this a dream. The Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. Verse 13, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, when this happens, verse 14 says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, here's the classic if then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will hear their land. So let's just back up and start going through this verse by verse. In my quiet time this morning, sometimes things seem to happen randomly, but as Christians, we know that God is in control and God has a plan for us. And nothing in our life is a coincidence. If we didn't believe in God, maybe we could believe in a coincidence. But as Christians, we know that God is in control and God has a plan. I like to call when God things happen in our life that other people might say is a coincidence, I like to call them a Godcidence. So let's go back up to verse 13. And it talks about when God shuts off the rain. God was speaking to Solomon about the Israelites, but let's apply this to ourselves. What is rain, you can ask? Rain is something that cools and nourishes and replenishes. It makes things grow. It quenches and provides growth. So if that's what rain is, what does the lack of rain cause? And let's make it personal. What does the lack of rain cause in our own lives? Well, if rain causes growth, then the lack of growth would be drought or something is dying. Cause drought, weariness, fatigue, or it can sap our strength. Is there anything going on in your life today that is causing any of these things, draining you physically, emotionally, mentally, or more important and spiritually? What is devouring you? Is something eating at you that just won't let you go and you can't get it out of your mind? It just won't let you go. What is plaguing you and eating you up? That's potentially God could be withholding rain in your life. So if this is happening in your life, here's a prescription for you. If you're in a drought period of your life, this is what verse 14 says to do. It says several things. First of all, it says to humble yourself. Recognize your vulnerabilities and your flaws. No one is perfect. I mean, even the very word of God says there's none righteous, no, not one. So to humble yourself doesn't mean to diminish yourself or devalue your self-worth, but realize that you are not in your own driver's seat. You're not in control. Who is? God is in control. Trust that God has a plan for yourself. You can even look at what Proverbs 3:5 says. It says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Humble yourself. Part of humbling yourself is self-reflection. Spend time daily in evaluating your own actions and attitudes and possibly the impact that they have on other people. Part of something that I'll suggest to you that's part of humbling yourself is to seek feedback from others in your own life. You know, there's different types of criticism. Nobody likes to be criticized. Sometimes it's destructive, but seek constructive criticism from those that are close to you and that know you well. Be open to their insights and be ready to put into action maybe some of the suggestions your friends or spouse or family members may have to help you. And part of humbling ourselves means that we can recognize our own limitations. We all have flaws, but embrace our flaws as opportunities for growth. And we can even enlist and ask others to help us in this area of our life. And one other thing that I think about helps us with an attitude of humility is to express gratitude. Those people that God has put in your life, regularly give them thanks and appreciation for what they do. Nobody likes to be criticized unless maybe we're asking for it and it's helpful or beneficial. But people really love it when others look into our life and express thanksgiving and gratitude for the things that we do, big and small things. We all like that little pat on the back. Some people need it more than others. But just remember that humility opens doors to meaningful connections and learning opportunities. So again, going back to verse 14, first of all, it says to humble ourselves and to pray. The Bible has so many scriptures that discusses the various aspects of prayer in our lives. I'm going to go through a list of prayers that our Sunday school class has been discussing and doing practical application of. Since this is a recording, you could stop it or pause it at any time, or you can go back if you want to pick up on some of these verses I'm about to share with you. I'm just going to throw them out really quick. The Bible says that we should pray anytime. Ephesians 6:18 says we should pray always. Colossians 4:2 says we should devote ourselves to prayer. 1 Timothy 2:8 says we should lift up holy hands in prayer. Yes, Baptists, lift up your hands in praise and prayer. Hebrews 4:16 says we are supposed to approach God with confidence, knowing that he will hear our prayers. And if he hears our prayers, he will answer us. And that leads us right to Psalm 116, 1 and 2. God hears our voice. He hears and answers our prayer. We can ask the Holy Spirit to help us pray when we don't even know what to pray for. Romans 8:26 says the Spirit himself intercedes for us in groanings that we can't understand ourselves. Jesus modeled prayer to his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, the Lord's Prayer. There's just a whole model of prayer on how to pray. Prayer benefits us. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says prayer gives us peace. James 1, 5, and 6 says we should ask for wisdom, and God gives us wisdom when we ask for it. How do we ask? We pray and ask God for wisdom. 1 John 5, 14, and 15 actually says prayer works. When we pray according to God's will. As we're talking on these verses from prayer, they stem from my quiet time this morning, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We should humble ourselves, seek God, and pray. We should also ask for God's guidance in our prayer. Psalm 139, 23, and 24 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart." The Bible talks about some requirements for prayer. James 5:16 says we should confess our sins and pray for each other, prayers of intercession. John 15:7 says we should remain in God as we pray. And Psalm 145:18 says the Lord is near to all who call upon him. Matthew 7:7 says we should keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. This is active participation from ourselves to God through prayer. So it's a continual process. It's not a one and done. And even more so, Jesus said so many times that he got up early in the morning, went to a quiet place by himself to pray. So just these are some of the things that 2 Chronicles 7:14 leads us to pray. And these are just some of the scriptures that I know I'm listening to me maybe like trying to take a drink of water from a fire hose, but there's just so much, not Shelby speaking, but God speaks to us in so many ways about prayer and the importance of prayer, significance of prayer, and how it makes a difference. So continuing on in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, we are to seek God's face. What does it mean to seek God's face? Well, to me, maybe it looks like to pursue a very intimate, personal relationship with God. Get to know him on a deep, personal level, not just a superficial level. God is not our genie in a bottle that we go to just when we want something or when we're in trouble and we need a bailout. But getting to know God on a daily, regular, continual basis. To do this, it takes intentionality. You have to set aside that time every day in prayer. So intentionally spending time with God in prayer and worship and scripture in order to get to know his heart. God speaks to us in many different ways through his Holy Spirit, through scriptures, through other Christians, through life circumstances. But it doesn't happen automatically. We have to purposely and intentionally pursue God's presence, not just his provision, not just go to God with our hand out when we need something or we want something. We need to align our heart to God's heart and to God's will. How do we do this? Again, practical application. How do we seek God's face? We've already been talking about some of it, prayer and scripture time every day. What we learn, how God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit and through scripture, we need to be obedient when God speaks to us. As discussed already, having that attitude of humility in our daily life and worship. And finally, what else does God say about seeking his face and how he will hear from us? We have to turn from our wicked ways. Basically, turning from our wicked ways is just another way of talking about repentance. What is repentance? It's doing a 180-degree turn from the direction that we're currently walking. Some people have a military background. One of the military commands that a lot of people learned in basic training and marching was the command to do an about face. And basically that's exactly, you're facing one direction and you do a procedure that makes you turn around 180 degrees so that you continue marching in the other direction. So that's what turning from our wicked ways means. It's doing an about face or doing a 180-degree turn from the direction that we're going. So that's what I wanted to share with you. There was a lot more to my devotion time this morning. It was one of those epic times when I know that God was speaking to me. And hopefully just a little, if you just take one morsel or one nugget of what God shared with me, and it helps you in your personal walk with God as your Lord and Savior, then all of my babbling and my monotone is worth it. So, friends, if I can end with one thing, it's with my one of my very favorite verses, my life verses that I already shared the first part of it, but. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he, that is God, will direct your path. Trust God. Don't trust in yourself to have all the answers. We don't have to have all the answers, but we know where to go to get the answers. We need to go to the Lord, and we find out his will for our life from God's word. So I kind of told you a story. I was going to end with Proverbs 3:5-6, but I really also want to share with you another really, really, really neat verse that's close, near and dear to my heart is Philippians 4:6-7. And it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, submit your request to God. And if we do that, here's what happens. And the peace of God. Do you want the peace of God? Not the peace of world, not the peace of man, but the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God is beyond our comprehension. It's just, it's not logical. It's just something that God blesses us when we seek Him with our whole heart. God says, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Are you seeking God with your whole heart? Are you seeking God's will for your life? Are you spending time with God to develop that close, personal, intimate relationship that will lead you to have the peace that surpasses all understanding? Here's the closing, I promise. When you're in a fix, read Philippians 4:6. For the peace of God in heaven, read Philippians 4:7. Thank you for listening. Thank you for desiring, hopefully, to have a closer walk with God. And thanks to Pastor Matt for giving me a few minutes to share a little bit about God's call in our life. And again, remember, if God can use a retired government electronics technician, He can use you. I pray for you, my friends, to have a closer walk with God every day.
The sky shall unfold, preparing His entrance. The stars shall applaud. Enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold Him then face to face.
That was David Phelps. That wasn't Shelby Smith, and that wasn't me. I'm just joking. David Phelps is a Gaither guy. If you know Bill Gaither, all his music, David Phelps would kind of became famous through that. And if you want to watch something amazing on YouTube, go to YouTube, put on People Hear Oh Holy Night by David Phelps for the first time. You have these voice coaches, and they hear that guy, and that Oh Holy Night version just blows them away. Well, wasn't that a blessing? You guys, I know we're blessed. Be sure and reach out. Let me know who you appreciate and what you appreciate most about the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to a little more music, right? Yeah, let's go to a little more music. What are you thinking? I think let's do a little more Gaither music. What I try to do is I do different genres, and next week you might turn and hear Skillet. You might hear classical, but I try to do different kinds of Christian music. We do higher choirs, do all kinds of stuff. So today we're doing Bill Gaither. If you happen to not know who he is, he's written a gazillion songs. Not a gazillion. I don't even know where, I don't think. But he's written a lot. And he's gone all over. He's in his 80s and 90s now, and he just keeps performing. And I think he finally retired, but it's just all about praising the Lord. And you see such a unified spirit in his concerts. Amazing. I went to...
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, "Holy!" The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion, and all the sights I saw. Then I said, "Take me to Jesus. He's the one who died for Mark.
Yeah! how sweet to hold our newborn baby. And that baby we wrote that song about is sitting up here, and he's 31 years old, if you can believe it. And feel the pride and the joy that he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance we can face uncertain days. I don't care what the CNN headlines say tomorrow. We can face uncertain days. Sing it. Because he is, I can face tomorrow.
I can face tomorrow.
Because he lives.
All fear is gone.
This has been Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Broome. I'm glad you're with me, and I was able to bring in a guest Bible teacher. I hope you were as encouraged, and you could tell he's joyful. I mean, you could tell it. We'll be continuing next week looking at the hope we have in Jesus Christ. I'm just glad you're with me. What a blessing that we can take this 58 minutes and look at Jesus Christ. Before we get off, I wanted to give you my contact again. I'd love to hear from you. I'd be glad to pray with you. My email is mathewvroman@gmail.com. mathewvroman@gmail.com. If you need a prayer, music request, whatever, I'm just there for you. Let me know what I can do. Or if you had a criticism, again, I want to hear, how can I improve? With that being said, we're going to finish off with the laughter. Mark Lowry, truly a funny, funny man. He's going to be talking about dogs go to heaven. And don't forget, we have hope in Jesus Christ. This has been Pastor Matthew of Safe Harbor Church in Accutane, Alaska. I will see you next week. Have a great week. Bye-bye. God bless.
Now let us pause for a profound and poignant theological exposition presented by Mark Lowry.
Hey! Are y'all having a good time at the Dove Awards tonight? Are you ready for some good news? Dogs go to heaven. It's in the Bible, Psalm 36:6. Read it when you get home. Dogs go to heaven. Any dog lovers here? Yeah, I mean, it's in the, we should have known he's coming back on a white horse. There are animals there. The lion will lay down with the lamb. There are animals there. Now, cats go to hell, but I can't help that. I can't help it. I didn't write the Bible. No, I think all animals go to heaven. I really do. Read the scripture, Psalm 36:6. I think there are, every chicken you ever ate is going to be waiting on you. And I think cats and dogs will all be there. You know, you can't go through eternity without Fluffy. And I just think they're different denominations. I think dogs are Pentecostal. You know, their tongue's always out. They're wagging. They're happy to be there. Shaking their tail. It's a fun group of people, and they're happy to see you. I was raised Baptist. We weren't happy about much. I was raised independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-banging, foot-stomping, soul-winning, door-knocking, pew-jumping, devil-chasing, sin-hating, King James Version only Baptist. And I'm happy about it. Our preachers weren't always right, but they were never in doubt. And all of them were fat. We're not allowed to. I mean, you never heard one of our preachers preach on gluttony. No, sir. We want to give the Lord a challenge in the rapture. But I'm telling you, your dog will be there. I mean, when you step on your dog's foot, what does it do? It yelps. And you breaks your heart. And you get down there and say, Fluffy, I'm so sorry. And what is she doing? She's licking your foot. That's a Christian. Try that with your wife. I can prove to you. Who's got a wife and a dog? Anybody here got a wife and a dog? I'm telling you, Jason, your wife loves you. Your dog loves you more than your wife. Your dog loves you more than your wife. I can prove it. Take your wife and your dog home tonight. Put them in the trunk of your car. Come back in 1 hour. Open that trunk and see who's glad to see you. It won't be the little woman. It'll be the Christian. Well, they told me to kill 90 seconds. Was that 90 seconds? Any Presbyterians here? We're the Presbyterians. Oh, the Calvinists and the cheap seats up there. I hear you. Any Pentecostals? There's got to be some Pentecostals here. Yes. Any Baptists? Any of my people here? Oh, I thought I sensed a self-righteous spirit. I know you. Any Catholics? Oh, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Tell Mary I said, hey. I'm Baptist. We're not allowed to talk to her. But tell her I said thanks for that song. God bless you.